Welcome back to our study of 1 Corinthians. We are in chapter 2, and we're going to pick up with verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God.
I want us to go back and catch this this part. Is this mic on? Okay. Looking at this, what does it mean by the spirit of the world? I mean, we hear it, you know, the spirit of God. We hear the spirit of the world is actually the intentions, the attitude, the mindset, this type thing that the world has. So when we're talking about the spirit of the world, it's how the world thinks, how the world reacts, responds, whatever, okay? And he's given a contrast between the world and God. Before we were born again, we all operated with the spirit of the world. We operated with that mindset, with that attitude. We thought like the world thinks. All of those things are related to the flesh. In other words, what's satisfying the flesh, what appeals to the flesh, and you can also include reasoning in this. Does it appeal to reason or doesn't it? And we pride ourselves in being logical people. That doesn't make sense, or that does make sense. And so we make our decisions based on a belief system that we've built over the years. And so when a person is born again and they start seeing things from the Spirit of God, it is in contrast to the world. It's the exact opposite. The world says this way, God says this way. And consequently, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. And that's why it is extremely difficult when you're trying to talk with someone and they don't understand what you're talking about. But they can't, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. They're operating with the spirit of the world. We're operating with the spirit of God. And so our mindset's different. They just say, well, I don't think like you. I know. Thank God I don't think like you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mean that in a facetious way. I mean, thank God I'm not operating with the spirit of the world now, thinking like the world thinks. Sadly, status quo church is still thinking like the world. It's still operating with the reason and with the logic, with the mindset that the world operates with. And consequently, they can't understand the things of God. And so you'll find people making excuses or accusing, all types of erroneous things that they come up with concerning God. And God is misrepresented more than is represented, I believe, because people are operating with the mind of the world, with the spirit of the world. Okay?
Verse 13, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people.
Now I want you to think about this. Comparing is when you put one thing beside another thing, right? And you're looking to see what relationship they have. Are they comparable? Okay. This is extremely important, especially with the gifts of the Spirit and various things that you encounter, whether it's in the church or out of the church. Many people get deceived because they're operating with the spirit of the world, and things look good, things sound good, things have an appeal, and so they fall for that. But a person of the spirit is comparing that spirit with the spirit of God. In other words, this is a spiritual manifestation. Is that God's spirit? All manifestations aren't God, you understand? All spirits aren't God. We're to try the spirits to see if they're God. And so the spirit in us is to be constantly comparing spiritual things. You with me? To the spirit of God. You understand where we're coming from? This is major because, I have to watch how I say this, but it just seems like we should be people of the Spirit and we're not people of the Spirit. And you're going to find here as we go along right here in 1 Corinthians, these people who came behind in those spiritual gifts were not people of the Spirit. They were people that were carnal in their thinking. They still was operating with the spirit of the world rather than the spirit of God, thinking like the world thinks. You with me? Okay. So you're going to find that in this letter we're told to judge. Judge it and see if it's God. If it's God, follow it. If it's not God, don't follow it. You're not judging the person per se. You're judging the spirit motivating the person. Okay?
Verse 14. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually.
Now, here again, right along with what we've been saying, the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. That's why so many people are against tongues or gifts of the Spirit. Okay, they're against these things because they can't understand them naturally. Yet, you'll say the wind's blowing because you see something. You didn't see the wind. You saw the result of the wind. You don't understand the wind. You with me? And so you're not going to understand everything of the Spirit of God. God's bigger than that. You can see the results. You can see the effects that the Spirit of God has to the point that you can understand this is real. This is something to yield to. This is something to desire. But the natural man can't understand the things of God. And then I go back to just the status quo church. People are natural. People are carnal. They're thinking naturally, so they don't understand. Well, they always hear the preacher preach. They don't. If God speaks through the preacher, they don't know it's God talking. They think the preacher said it because they're just thinking naturally. And when you're thinking naturally, you're not hearing the Spirit. And so the natural man cannot understand the Spirit of God. That's foolish. How many people have said tongues was foolish? Or worse? Because they can't understand the things of God. He says they have to... Let me just read it here in this one. Their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, they're perceived by the Spirit. The natural man doesn't pick up on spiritual things, or he'd be spiritual. It's natural. So there's the contrast, the natural versus the Spirit. Now, we're not to hold on to both. Although I understand we're in a natural body. And I understand we still deal with things on a daily basis, myself included. You with me? Okay. But here's the thing. God's wanting us to think by the Spirit. I promise you, I don't think like I used to think. And that's a miracle. Because I thought wrong. How's that? Okay? God is wanting His people to live by perception, by discernment. Now, this is why He tells us the just live by faith. The natural man lives by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:11, okay? You following the contrast here? Now, Paul's going to locate these people. I just heard a person make a statement, and I'll just wait on that. I'll just wait on that. But just know this, that if you're going to understand anything by the Spirit, it'll be by you perceiving out of the Spirit, not reasoning from your head. Okay?
The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone.
A person that's walking in the Spirit, he's not judging people. That's not what he's talking about. He says he's judging all things. You don't take things at face value. You listen. I'm telling you, when I listen to preachers, I'm judging the content. Is this God? Is this something I've never heard before? I need to research this. Do I bear witness to what's being said? You follow me? And when people come up, and I've had this to happen so many times, people tell me, the Lord said this for me to tell you this. I will judge that. Not you, but I will judge that. Number one, do I bear witness? Number two, is in an agreement with the Scriptures? But here's number three. Does it align to the character of Jesus Christ? You can quote me Scripture. The devil quoted Jesus Scripture. You with me? But it's going to have to pass that test right there. Okay? And so we're judging. If we're spiritual, we're judging things. We'll know immediately. That's not God. How do I say this? Manifestations. I wanted to say prophecy, but it's not prophecy of God. Many of the manifestations that come forth are just coming out of the heart of a person. It's not that the person is necessarily an evil person. It's not that the person is malicious. So often, a person is wanting something good to happen or wanting to say something good to you, and then they're going to come out of their own heart and prophesy something that is not true. But the inspiration for that prophecy, if you want to call it that, is not coming from God. It's coming from your own self, from your own thinking, or from circumstances. God told Jeremiah, He said, these guys are prophesying out of their own hearts. I didn't send them. They're saying the Lord says, and I haven't said anything. And we see that running rampant today. Okay? And you need to be cautious with that. Judge it by the Spirit. Judge it by the Spirit. Not does it sound good. Is it God? Is it God? That's the bottom line. Okay?
For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him?
Anybody in here want to be God's advisor?
Mm-hmm.
But you know people are advising him every day.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, much of praying is telling God what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Who has enough mind, enough intelligence to advise God? No one. And yet God has given us the mind of Christ through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. He has given us the ability to think like Him, but not to become smarter than Him. You understand, His ways are still higher and His thoughts are still higher. But He does give us the ability to think differently than the world. So one that's walking in the Spirit, his thoughts are higher than the world's. His ways are higher than the world's. You follow me? So the world can't understand you. But we do have the mind of Christ if we'll tap into it by the Spirit and utilize it. But that don't mean you're God. Okay.
Chapter 3. Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ.
Okay. Now we're going to get right. I told you when we first opened up with Corinthians, and it said Paul is telling them you don't come behind in any spiritual gift. And I told you then that you cannot measure spiritual maturity by spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, these people that he told they didn't come behind in any gift, he's now telling them you're babies. You're carnal. You follow me? Well, a statement I started to make a while ago is I heard a guy say there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. Well, according to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, there is such a thing. When you think of it in the true sense of the word, carnality simply by definition would be pertaining to flesh. And so there's Christians that have their mind on the flesh. They're still drawing from the spirit of the world. They do not have their mind on Christ. They're not drawing from the Spirit of God. And so when you're walking the same way the world walks, when you think the way the world thinks, you're carnal. And I'm not talking about sin. Let's just forget that part right now. Let's go on. This will help me explain this a little more.
I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not ready for it.
Well, Paul says, you know, from the beginning, I've given you milk. Because, actually, the word, the King James says meat, but the Greek says food. I've given you milk, I have not given you solid food. And even now, I can't give you solid food. Because you're still babies. Okay? Now, believe it or not, that would pretty much cover a large population of the church today. If you read Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and he gives you the doctrine of Christ, there's 6 things there. You understand? Faith toward God, well, repentance from dead works, faith toward God. Repentance from dead works, not repentance from sin. Repentance from dead works. What's dead works? Works without faith. You're just doing works to try to get something. You're not doing the works because of its corresponding action. Okay? Faith toward God. People put their faith out on this, their faith out on that, and their faith out on the other. It says faith toward God. Okay? Now, here's where we think we get an end of the meat, laying on the hands. Doctrine of baptisms. Baptisms, plural. Okay? The writer of Hebrews calls that milk of the word. If you read the 5th chapter, the last part of the 5th chapter, he said, when the time you ought to be teachers, you need to be taught again. And then he goes on, and says, let's leave, not abandon, but let's get off of the bottle and let's go on to maturity. Let's not stay in this infant stage of learning. And this is what's going on at Corinth. They're still in an infant state of learning. Paul says, I'm having to feed you milk. I want to give you food. I want to give you some things that mature people will grow, because babies can't reproduce. And this is all about spiritual reproduction. You know, from the very beginning, God's mandate was be fruitful and multiply. And even after he wiped out, you know, the earth with the flood, and Noah came off of the ark, God told him the same thing he told Adam, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And basically, when you look at the Great Commission, that's what he's saying. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be producing converts, disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. But babies can't do that. Babies will bring about confusion. And there's a lot of it in the church world. Okay? And so, these people that he's writing to, they operate in gifts of spirit. He's even got one chapter there talking about it, and then he has another chapter talking about the order. He's having to set order in the church. They're using these gifts so often, he has to set order. But they're babies.
Okay. He says, in fact, you are still not ready because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you,
Now look at that.
Yeah.
You're carnal.
Mm-hmm.
Then he identifies what is proven their carnality.
Right.
They're envious of one another. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Is that not what's going on in church today? I mean, in most any given congregation, you have people jealous of one another, people envying one another. Somebody has something they don't have, and all this, and all kinds of stuff, strife. Contention, that's a mark of carnality. It's a mark of being a baby. Mature Christians didn't do that. You'll suffer the wrong if you're really mature. Someone called me early this morning and said, listen, forget it. Go on with your life. Don't even think about it. If you don't think about it, it won't bother you. Get your mind off other people. Get your mind on God. The only thing that's going to bother you is what you're thinking about. But what if you think about the good things? You see, this is what the mature Christian will do. He will take control of his mind and not let his mind go with every little whim that comes across, you know, and get all upset and all emotional and all this type of stuff. Okay.
Let me read this again to keep our sentence. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like unbelievers?
Okay.
Mm.
So denominations are carnal, right? Of course. You understand that's what they're talking about? Part of them say, well, I'm a Paul. In other words, I listen to him, I follow him. Well, I'm of Apollos. I listen to him, I follow him. We're in this segment. Well, I follow Peter. Oh, but we follow Jesus. He says carnal. That's how the flesh thinks. The flesh is choosing one over another. You understand that? And this is what people do today. They'll flock around a certain celebrity. This is not about celebrity. This is about Jesus Christ. And so when you're putting your attention on the man instead of on Jesus, you're carnal. Don't get overexcited.
Okay. What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each one has the role the Lord has given.
Now, this is how you keep this in perspective, okay? So, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who's Peter? They're just instruments. They're all servants of the Lord. God chose this one to minister to you, this one to minister to you, this one to minister to you. Who are they? Servants of the Lord, not idols to worship. Not something to pull you off in a corner and separate you from somebody else. Now, the problem is preachers do that. Preachers can't even get along. It's amazing, isn't it? Wayne and I were talking today at lunch. You know, I don't know anybody who's going to agree with 100%. I told him, I said, you know, sometimes I don't even agree with myself. Have to get some things straightened out in there. There can be conflict in you. You can't expect everybody to believe like you believe. That's foolish. We're all learning. No one has arrived. No one knows it all. And we can all glean from one another if we'll just listen. Wayne said it today. You know, I've heard it often. Eat the hay, spit out the sticks. You understand? You take the good. Don't dwell on the good. Don't dwell on the critical stuff. Leave that alone. You know, you can find fault with anybody. I'll guarantee you, any person in this room right now, any other person can come up here and they can look and they can find fault with you, or they can find good in you. It's your choice. You want to look for the good, you want to look for the bad. Carnal Christians look for the bad in people. Gossip. God wants us to grow up. Keep the divisions out of the body. Even with the preachers. Keep the divisions out of the body. Amen. Okay.
I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth.
That's bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
One person sows the seed. Plants. Another person comes in and waters. Well, how many of you know what's planted needs watering? It's not that you choose between the planter and the waterer. You with me? You recognize the need for both. And this is a major problem in the fivefold ministry because they don't recognize the need for one another. This one thinks everybody ought to be like this. Everybody ought to be like that. You know, prophet thinks everybody ought to be a prophet. The evangelist thinks everybody ought to be an evangelist. The pastor thinks everybody ought to be a pastor. Teacher thinks everybody should be a teacher. I'll tell you what I think you should be, what God made you to be. And quit trying to be like somebody else. God has not called us to stereotype gifts. God gives anything you have is given to you by God. And so you operate with that gifting the way God created you. Don't try to be like somebody else. When you are, you're trying to impress people. That's carnal. You understand? And I'm telling you that the majority is operating in carnality. They're trying to impress people. I remember years ago, I preached a message the Lord gave me, and I knew it. It went over like a lead balloon, you understand. It wasn't received at all. And I said, I wonder what the people thought about that. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, said, in a very firm way. He said, don't you ever ask yourself what the people think. You ask yourself what I think. You deliver what I tell you to deliver, then you let the chips fall where they may. I'll take care of the rest of it. All you are is the messenger boy. Deliver the message. You don't make anything happen. You understand? And too many people are trying to make something happen. God didn't call me to make it happen. He called me to deliver the message. And that's a liberating thing, if you grasp hold of that. We need people to plant. We need people to water. Just do what God's called you to do. And don't be looking at the other person and what they're doing. Keep your mind on God. Spiritual people think about God. Carnal people think about all the stuff the world thinks about.
Now the one planting and the one watering are one in purpose, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Go ahead, read 8 with it.
I did. I missed 7.
Huh?
I read 8, not 7.
Okay.
I'll go back. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth.
Okay.
I read both, just out of order.
So he that plants, he's just doing what he's told to do. So that's nothing special. He's just obedient. He who waters, he's just doing what he's told to do. So he doesn't need to be looking for accolades either. Just be obedient. You understand? Here's the thing. It's not who plants. It's not who waters. The attention's on who gives the increase. You understand? Man can't give the increase. But isn't it amazing how much time, effort, and money ministers spend on trying to increase the flock? And it's absolutely foolish. You understand? Jesus said he was building his church. So whose church are you building? If you're building it, it's not Jesus. Jesus is building his church. Now, you can assist him as a laborer, but it's not your church. It's his church, and, you know, preachers argue over sheep. Well, he stole my sheep. I told a guy one time, I said, well, you can't steal mine. I don't have any. They belong to the Lord. You follow me? Keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your mind on the one that gives the increase. And just realize it's a privilege to be able to be chosen by God to work in his field, if I can say it that way, to assist in the building. You with me? That's a privilege. And that ought to humble you that God would select you to represent him, the people. Okay?
For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building.
Actually, that's co-laborers. You think about this. We are co-laborers with the Lord. He doesn't do it for us. We don't do it for him. We do it together. You know, you think about this with the apostles. After Jesus' resurrection, before his ascension, he tells his apostles, who have healed the sick and cast out devils and preached the gospel, he said, stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And then he tells us in Acts 1:8 that you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be. And I put my emphasis there. You will be. In other words, you guys have done, but you wasn't good at being. Y'all ran away from me. You were more interested in you. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. And the Spirit of God will give you the ability to be witness. Not going out witnessing, being a witness. There's a world of difference. Okay? then you're going to hear me put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit. But he wanted the ministry to continue. And he still wants the ministry to continue. So we co-labor with him, working with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit. You may sit down and work up a sermon, and God will do as much with it as he can. He'll confirm his word. You with me? Or you can listen to the Spirit of God and get the most out of it. And that's what God's wanting us to do. Ministry should be maximized, not just doing time. Okay? Co-laborers with Him. Spirit of God should be playing a major role in our lives, especially in the lives of the minister.
Verse 10. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it.
Okay, I'm just going to make a comment. We're going to take a break because I'm going to come back to this. There's so much here. Paul didn't say as a builder. He said as a wise master builder, skilled craftsman. I've laid the foundation, and you can't lay another one. Okay, we'll come back to this after the break, all right?